If you would please turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. I will read verse 1 through verse 4. My text will be verse 3. Isaiah 26, verse 1 says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." Jesus told us that in this life we shall have tribulation, but that we should not fear, for He has overcome the world. That's John chapter 16 and verse 33. But sometimes that is not so easy of a thing to do. And so we become afraid. We fret. We get stressed out. And though responsibilities are upon us and we must handle them, I submit unto you, we can do so with an attitude of heart which is pleasing to God. There are different ways you can respond to your circumstances, my friend. And I pray that we would respond well. And I pray that we would have an attitude of trust toward the living God. So that's what we want to think about today. And may you find great encouragement in our passage. The title of the message is Perfect Peace. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, our heart goes out to those that would love to be here and cannot due to sickness or providential hindrance. We ask that you would bless them and meet their needs. And Lord, we pray for those that should be here and are not because of a lack of desire, that you would just speak to their heart and pull on their heart cords and just draw them to yourself and give them a desire to be back in your house. But Lord, we thank you for these who are here today. And so we set aside this time to worship you, to honor you, to offer up our prayers, to Lord, sing praise to your name, and to look into your word. And we ask that you bless now as we do that, that which you've laid upon my heart to share with your people at this time, that Lord, you just reach down by your spirit and unfold your word before us and help us to have great faith and trust and confidence in you. And Lord, may we have that which we need that we might serve you well in this very troublesome world. And so we commit this time to you today, and we love you, and we honor you, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. I want to talk to you today from our text about perfect peace. This is one of my favorite passages, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee." But let me give you an introduction. Let me speak a little bit here in regard to what Isaiah is used of the Holy Spirit to write and that which is found in our passage. The context speaks of the Jews singing this song at some future date. Oh, in verse 1 we read, "In that day." It's a future date. That which is out beyond us. Nope, back into chapter 25. Back up a little bit. Look at verse 9. "And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for Him, and He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for Him, and we will be glad and rejoice in His salvation." And so, in a future day when Israel will be delivered, and proof of that is if you'll just back up a little bit further in verse chapter 25, rather. But we see in that day. Verse 1, in that day, verse 9 of chapter 25. But look into verse 6, 25:6. "And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations, and he will swallow up death in victory." Now those first two verses you may not have connected with too much, talking about future deliverance, but he says, "He will swallow up death in victory." I judge you've heard that. And the Lord God will wipe away all tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of His people shall He take away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it, and it shall be said in that day. Chapter 26, verse 1, in that day. So that future day is when the nation, and as a matter of fact, I believe the world will have complete deliverance. And it is a day that is spoken of when death is gone. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read that verse, I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So I'm going to invite you to turn over to that passage. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. Paul speaks about the coming changes that will take place and all those things there down through the text. I just pick up there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 53. And you'll understand in a moment why I recall this passage when I read Isaiah 25. Because 1 Corinthians 15, 23 says, "For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality," notice, "then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." The full and final and complete salvation that we have when we're made in the image of Jesus Christ, when we take on His person, if you will, we're made in His image, we receive a glorified body, and sin is behind us now. What a wonderful time that will be, that we really look forward to that day, do we not? In that day when we have salvation, in that day when these things will be delivered. I'm also reminded of Revelation chapter 21. Let me read this to you. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. This will be familiar to what we read in Isaiah. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." You go back to our passage, Isaiah chapter 26, and we refer back to 25, and we find that God in the future day will deliver Israel, will deliver the world from its bondage of sin, and, well, we who are saved will be made in the image of Jesus Christ, and death is swallowed up in victory. And that description about wiping away all tears, we think of that as heaven, do we not? And we shall be with Him. So when we come to this verse that we're thinking about, Isaiah 26 and verse 3, what a declaration of peace that there is here. But yet this is a prophetic statement of future time of when we're made in the image of Christ, when the sin is taken care of. But let me ask you something. Is the victory already secured in Jesus Christ? It's just not yet accomplished? I want to show you something. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. In other words, is Isaiah saying the only time you can ever have peace is when it is complete? I think you can have peace prior to that, based on the very same victory you have in Jesus Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul wrote in verse 15, he says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Notice that. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I'll go a few pages over to the book of Philippians in chapter 4. One of our favorite passages that I'm sure is one that's familiar to you and one that gives you great encouragement. Philippians chapter 4, and in verse 6 and verse 7 we have some instruction about prayer, that God's people can offer up prayer before God, as well as many other verses in regard to prayer, but this is not necessarily a message on prayer. But Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, don't be anxious over anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And notice the result of that in verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And so you look at your circumstances and go back to Isaiah 26. And you consider what's going on in your life. And we're being told in the Scriptures to take those things before the Lord, to cast them at His feet, to don't worry over those things. And God's peace, even though the circumstances may look beyond our control, and they may well be, That peace that passes all understanding. And you can't figure it out, but God will give you peace. Peace. And it's a peace that is spoken of now. It's a peace that we can have. We don't have to wait until the future day when we see Jesus face to face. As believers, we already have victory in Jesus Christ. And that peace is now. And I believe, and this is why this is one of my... I believe that we can apply the declaration of Isaiah 26:3 even to our present time. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. I think we can apply that truth. I can depend upon it. I think it's true. And that's how I'm going to present it. So if you disagree with the interpretation, the application, if you don't think that that can be applied to our day but only to a future time, then I ask you just to bear silently with me. Don't get up and walk out, but just hang in there. We'll get through the message and you can leave. But I'll tell you, my friend, I find great comfort in this promise. And I think it's a promise that you can cling on to as well. So that is the reason. And so I look into the text, Isaiah 26:3, and I think about perfect peace. So as we progress through the message, I think it necessary to remind ourselves why there is a need for peace. Do you need peace today? Is everything in your life just absolutely perfect? No problems, no worries, no issues? Are you anxious over anything? I mean, it could be medical. It could be financial. It could be social. You could be fretting yourself politically. I mean, there are so many things in this life. It could be emotional. It could be familial. You know, dealing with your family. It could be your neighbor. It could be the people you work with or your job. So many things can disrupt our life. And I submit unto you there is a need for peace because our lives are so disrupted. As Jesus said, you will have tribulation in this world. It's going to happen. How are you going to react to it? How are you going to respond to it? He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome, right? And so we have a great promise here. But I don't think anybody here could honestly stand up and say, I'm good. I don't need God's peace. Everything is right on the mark. You know, even if you have everything in a positive sense, there's still worry and anxious with that. Let's say you had enough money that you could never spend in your lifetime. Well, now you've got to be worried about people kidnapping you or robbing you. Or stealing everything that you have. And so you have all kinds of... Even when things are on the positive side, there are concerns, are there not? There's a need for peace. And I'm convinced you need peace. I need peace. Where are we going to get that peace? Some try to get it through drugs, some through alcohol, some through illicit sex, some through all kinds of ideas and concepts, philosophies of the world, psychologists and so forth. Where are you going to get peace? Well, I find that there's a need for peace. And our verse talks about peace, that He'll keep us in perfect peace. And so I want to express to you and make it absolutely clear that having this kind of a peace is a condition. By that I mean this. This peace that I believe is spoken of in the text is a continual, is not a continual peace in the sense of like Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith we have peace with God. Or we can take the opposite or the contrast of that. Isaiah 48, verse 22 says, there is no peace, saith my Lord, to the wicked. You see, if you're saved, you have peace toward God, do you not? Well, sure, you have eternal life. You've been forgiven of your sin. But are you still in this world? Do you still have tribulation and trials and heartache and pain and things to be concerned about? You do, don't you? And so I don't see this promise as being one, okay, well, you're saved or you're not. That's not the point at all. This is a conditional thing. This is a peace that meets us in our condition. Over in the book of Philippians in chapter 4, we read there in verse 6 and verse 7 about praying and casting your care upon the Lord and don't be anxious over anything. Paul says a few more verses down in verse 11, in the latter part of that verse, he says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to suffer need. I know how to have plenty to eat. And so Paul talks about all these situations and circumstances of life, and he says, I have learned that in any state I am, therewith to be content. Paul's saying, I have peace, no matter what happens. No matter how it turns out, no matter what I'm going through, I have found that I can have peace. How? He just said it a few verses before. Don't be anxious over anything, but in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And God gave him peace so that no matter what came upon him, he had a peace. And I believe that this peace of which I'm addressing, the peace of which this text addresses, is a conditional peace. Yes, you're saved. Yes, you have eternal life. Yes, you have peace with God. You're not worried about going to hell. That's settled. And by the way, dear sinner, you know you're not going to heaven. You know you're going to hell, and there is no peace to you. Everything is going to be disruptive. You have no resource, nowhere to turn. I'm amazed at the world. They don't have anywhere to turn. And that's why they turn to the things that they do turn to, thinking that it will give them peace in their heart. But the only peace that you need is the peace that comes from God when you're saved. And so I pray that you would see Jesus Christ, high and lifted up, crucified, buried, risen again, that you might have eternal life, and you'd repent and believe and be saved and have peace with God. But after that, we live in this life, do we not? I have my share of heartaches. You have yours. Do you have any concerns today? Yes, you do. Well, that will keep him in perfect peace. Perfect peace. And so then you'll notice as we look into this passage, this kind of peace that is spoken of is called a perfect peace. And we just mentioned that to you. The verse reads that in the King James Version. That will keep him in perfect peace. In the Hebrew, however, and it's there's nothing wrong with the translation. The word perfect is an absolutely correct word. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's a perfect word to be used here. Perfect peace, but it, actually what it is in the Hebrew language, it is a repetition. It says, thou wilt keep him in peaceful peace. And the King James translators translated that as a perfect peace because it was repeated. A peaceful peace. So I think that's perfect peace. You can have peace pretty much, but still be disquieted. But this is a peace that is a peaceful peace. Does that make sense to you? Well, I hope that it does. And I submit unto you that a peace like this is a peace that does not come from ignorance, it doesn't come from deception, and it doesn't come from the world. Well, that really makes a difference because, you know, people will just look at you and say, well, just believe it to be so. Well, out of ignorance, kids will believe anything. They'll trust anything. And people are pretty susceptible. And so, this peace is not based in ignorance. There's a confidence here. There's a foundation for it. And I think that your peace and your comfort and your trust ought to have a foundation, not just a wishful hope-so kind of a thing. That is too wishy-washy, isn't it? There's more. This is more solid. This doesn't come from deception. Well, you just trick them and tell them what they want to hear, and they believe it. They might have a little bit of peace, but this is not the kind of peace it talks about. No, it's not a peace the world can give. This is a peaceful peace. And the author of that peace is what? Well, the author is God. Notice it says in the text, thou, who's it talking to? Talking about God. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, his mind stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. And so, this is directed toward God. Proof, very next verse, verse 4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And my counsel to you today, my dear friend, no matter what's going on in your life, and maybe you know it, nobody else does, and you put on a good show, and you come, and you smile, and you shake hands, and nobody knows the hurt you're going through, and nobody knows the pain and the concern. God does, and my counsel to you is you turn to God. You turn to the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever. You trust in the Lord Jehovah. He's the everlasting strength. He's the author of that peace. And by the way, that's peace whether it's in the positive things or in the negative things. No matter what you're going through, no matter where the turmoil comes from, and the concern, or even the worry, you use the word worry, and really, Christians should never use the word worry. Oh, I'm worried about you. Well, should Christians ever worry? But Paul says, be anxious for nothing, and so don't worry over anything, but that proves that we have a tendency to worry. And whether it's good or whether it's bad, we have a tendency to worry. Even Job, when he was in the best of his health, after he was sick and debilitated, you know what he said? He said, that which I fear greatly has come upon me. Even in the best of times, Job had a fear in the back of his mind that things might not always stay the way they stay. And of course they didn't, and he suffered. But that's a concern, is it not? So either way you slice it, this is a peaceful peace that can be given unto you. It's a peace that you can receive, but it comes from God. God is the author of this peace. Now you look into the text, and it really tells us the means of this peace. You say, okay, God has great peace, a peace that passes all understanding. My life's a mess. I'm barely getting through. I can't hardly take it. And how am I going to deal with all this stress? And you say, well, keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusted in thee. How do I get this peace? Two words in the text. One is the word stayed. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. How are you going to do this? Whose mind is stayed on thee. The word stayed in the original language means to lean upon. It is to rest heavily upon. And some of you that had surgeries or having a debilitating a problem and you have to get a cane or you have to get a walker and you lean on that deal, then you're staying on it. That's the word. And so you lean upon, you rest heavily upon. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Did Paul have a confidence that he was saved and had eternal life? Absolutely. He'd surrendered his life to him. But it's also true of other things. Else Paul would have never said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. The Apostle Paul had learned that God is the author not only of saving peace, but also this conditional peace that you have to face day after day after day. And the Apostle Paul, if he was going to be stoned, then he had peace. If he was going to be beaten with rods, then he had peace. If he was going to be scourged, then he had peace. Do you know why? Because he stayed upon the Lord. He leaned upon Him. And the encouragement of the Scripture, the counsel is this, that if we want this perfect peace, we have to be stayed upon Him. We have to lean upon Him. And that involves the second term in the passage, which is really just an expression or a digression of staying upon Him, because He trusteth in thee. Trust. You will not lean upon anyone or anything if you do not trust it. And so, if you go to sit down in a chair and you're not really, it's kind of wobbly, I'm not going to sit in that because I can't trust it. If you can trust it, you'll sit on it. You'll lean upon it. And so, some spouses can't trust their spouse. And so there's no confidence there. Sometimes kids cannot trust their parents. And on, I mean, there are many examples. I think we can all figure that out. If there is no trust, there will be no leaning upon. There will be no staying upon. And so he says, if you want perfect peace, then your mind needs to be stayed on the Lord. And, how does this happen? Because he trusteth in thee. Do you trust God? We sang about God who is on His throne, and we talk about Him, and He is the omnipotent, He's the sovereign God of the universe, and He is in control. Do you really believe that? And so that word trust, trust is a belief, it's a commitment, it's a confidence in. Many years ago when I was in my younger days, my early 20s, I'd gotten out of college and had several opportunities for ministry, and things were just confusing, and work was hard at that time. I mean, it was a bad time in the economy and people were being laid off. It was back in the early 80s. That was a long time ago, wasn't it? And I was just distressed. Called up an old preacher friend of mine and I began to talk to him and I said, listen, I just need some counsel here. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I just need you to give me some direction here. And so as I spoke with this fellow, he stopped and he says, "Do you know that you're saved?" And I said, "Yes, I know that you're saved." And he said, "How do you know it?" I said, "Because I repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I trusted Him by faith." He said, "So you're saved by faith?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "Well, you trust Him with your soul?" I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "Well, you need to trust Him with your life." And I'll tell you, that's the counsel that I needed at that time. Now, I knew I was saved. I knew I had eternal life. I trusted God with my soul. But I wasn't trusting Him with my life. And so I was trying to figure out all these things. And I was trying to plot out and to plan and to deal. And I was just trying to all do it myself. And because of that, I was in great turmoil within. And I just didn't know what to do. And He says, "If you can trust Him with your soul, then you need to trust Him with your life." My, what great counsel that was. And He says that He will give you perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Thee. Will you stay upon God? Will you lean upon God? Will He be your refuge because you trust in Him? Will you trust Him with your life? You're saved. You have no fear of hell. Will you trust Him with your life? What a difference it makes. And so precious promises like we have in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Boy, don't they ring true? Huh? "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Didn't say everything was going to be good, but we know that all things work together for good. And so this bad thing, this turmoil, this thing that's upsetting me, I don't know how it all is going to work out, but I know that God said it'll work for my good and for His glory. Now that's a great promise. But if you can't trust God who gave you that promise, then you're not going to lean upon Him. You're not going to stay upon Him. And so you're running around trying to figure it all out yourself. And because of that, you're stressful. Stress will hurt you, by the way. Stress will ruin your health. Sure will. Tear you up. God's not intending for us to be stressful. I'm stressed out. You shouldn't be, Christian. None of us should be. But we're still human. We're still in the flesh. And we have that tendency to worry and to try to fix it ourselves and to guess. And He says, if you stay upon Me, if you trust Me. And so Romans 8:28 is a great promise. Do you believe it? Philippians chapter 1 and in verse 6 says, "We're confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Do you believe that? Then take confidence in it. God is the author of that. Lean upon Him. I'm made to think of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, and I've shared this verse over and over and over again with people down through the years. He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But if you don't believe the author, you're not going to trust that, and so you're not going to lean upon Him. But I tell you, my friend, God is worthy. God is God. He is sovereign. We can trust Him with everything that we are and all that we have. And if we'll trust Him, then we will lean upon Him. And when we trust Him and lean upon Him, what do you get? What does He say? "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." And so I know that if there comes a thing into my life where I am not at rest, if I am not peaceful, I am not trusting Him as I ought, and I'm not leaning upon Him as I should. Because I don't have the peaceful peace. See the lesson? The other night, Chad got off work. Went somewhere. We didn't know. We thought he came in. He didn't. We didn't know where he was at. And I just said, "Lord, whatever he is, just watch over him." Was I a little bit concerned? Yeah, I started to head toward it as the hours kept going by. But there should have never been any worry or anxious upsetness over that. You know why? I should have been trusting my God. God, He's in your hands. And if some criminal in Memphis takes him out. I can't stop that. How should I respond? And trust to God and lean upon my God. He says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusteth in thee." There are many references I could give you, promises of the Scripture. Oh, that God would grant us the grace that we need to trust Him. As we work through these things of life and the tribulations, the heartaches and the turmoil, we'll say like Paul, "In whatsoever state I am, I've learned to be content." Why? Because I trust my God. I trust the promises of His Word. And He is on the throne. And I lean upon Him. Notice verse 4 is a command for peace. Trust ye in the Lord. He says this is what will take place. But then he says in verse 4, trust ye in the Lord forever. Colossians 3:15, Paul had said, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart." So I just offer you this verse today as an encouragement, a help, a direction. That as the turmoil and the tribulation and the troubles of life, as they come upon us, that God will grant us perfect peace. He will if we trust Him. He will if we lean upon Him or stay upon Him. And I tell you, my friend, I pray on a regular basis, "God, if you allow negative things to come upon me, I want to respond well." I pray like that. Because this world is very evil. And you never know what's going to happen. And I could be the one in the doctor's office next week where they say it's terminal and you got to do this or else you're going to die in 3 weeks. I have to make an option, some choices there are the options. And I pray that if anything ever like that comes upon me, I will respond well for God's glory. So what we find in closing, the time in Isaiah's day was very troubling and enemies afflicted the nation from without. Turmoil came from within. Actually, the nation continued to decline and they finally were carried away into captivity. But the events spoken of in the text indeed were future for them, and the people of that day were to look forward to them with complete confidence and that God will bring them peace. And I just submit unto you that may we who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, may we look to God in the midst of our circumstances, all of our circumstances, and trust Him with it. And if we do, I'm confident that He will grant peace to our hearts. But if you're here today and you're not saved, you do not know Him as your Lord and Savior, perhaps today would be the day you find true peace in your heart. First, the saving peace. "There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked." And you'll never have peace outside of God. But I pray, dear sinner, today you would find peace with God in the saving sense. And then recognize if you can trust Him with your soul, you can trust Him with your life, and you will have a peace that passes all understanding in the midst of your circumstances and in your condition. Perfect peace. That's the commendation of the text. And may we be encouraged to seek that as we trust our God. Let's stand. Father in heaven, thank you for the day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to share it. And I pray that you would just take it to our hearts. That, Lord, for those of us who already know you as Lord and Savior, you've given us eternal life. That, God, you would just grant us the grace we need to live day by day. Help us to recognize we can trust you with all of our lives and not just with our souls. Thank you for what we can have in you, and thank you for that which you provided for us. Thank you that you gave us the victory in Jesus Christ. So may we appropriate it. Grant us perfect peace. But we do lift up those that are lost. God, they need you. We pray that you would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus, that they might be saved today. And we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. We're standing. Turn, if you would.